Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 18, Peter says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is a lifelong process, but it is a requirement. We are to grow in the grace, and we are to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We're supposed to get to know Him. In order to get to know Him, we have to go into grace first, because we can't know Him outside of grace. Grace was something that God chose. Never think to yourself, "I'm not worthy of grace." Sometimes people have a problem with grace in as much as they don't really trust grace to take care of them because they recognize their own shortcomings. Your shortcomings don't prevent grace because grace is not dependent on how you're doing. Grace is a decision God made. And because God made the decision, it's only grace that we deal with. That was God's choice. We accept grace, we enter into grace, we receive grace, but what it is, and whether it's grace or not, that is entirely God's choice, entirely dependent on God, in no way dependent on us. So grace doesn't change with my condition. When Peter says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ," I don't have to worry about how I'm doing because grace is God's decision. Grace is God's choice. So God says, "I'm going to relate to you according to grace. I'm never going to relate to you according to anything else." And we, being kind of silly at certain points, we'll say, "God, I'm not doing well today. I'm not really sure about this grace thing. I don't really deserve your grace. Oh, by the way, if you deserve grace, you're disqualified." Grace, by its very nature, is something you cannot deserve. And so if I deserve grace, I don't qualify for grace. So I don't say to myself, "I don't deserve it." I don't say to myself, "I'm not good enough." I don't say to myself, "Well, I have this problem," or "I failed yesterday," or whatever it is. No, grace is God's decision for how He relates to us. Now, grace has three parts. Sometimes people think grace only has one part. A lot of people, if you ask them, "What is grace?" they'll tell you it is the unmerited, which means not deserved, favor of God. Well, yes, that is true, but that's only one part. Sometimes people don't trust grace because they think there's only one part to grace, and they think because it's the not deserved favor of God, that means that grace would allow people to sin, or grace would allow things that are not right with God to take place, because after all, it's the not deserved favor of God. That's not the fullness of grace. There's three parts to grace. That's only one part. If I think grace is just one thing, it's like having a chair with only one leg. No wonder it doesn't work for you. Grace is three things. Yes, grace is the not deserved favor of God. In Ephesians 2:8, it's a gift from God. And gifts are not something I have to earn. They're not deserved. They're simply something somebody gives. God gives the gift of grace. In Ephesians 2:7, though, grace is also the kindness of God. Kindness is the physical or practical expression of the love of God. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, the first two characteristics of God's love are long-enduring patience and kindness. So the very existence of that expression of love is an issue of grace. Grace is given because God loves, but one of the expressions, one of the parts of grace is that expression of love. And that comes in kindness. You'll find this with people too. It's absolutely true with God. God will always express love and kindness. Now, sometimes that kindness takes different forms and we don't always recognize those forms. Kindness can take place in the form of discipline. Because discipline doesn't feel good, we don't always think of discipline as being kind. But it is kind. Imagine if you have a child and you're a parent and the child is doing something that will harm them. Would it be kind to allow the child to do something they don't know any better, but it would harm them? Would that be kind? No, of course not. That would be cruel. Well, you tell the child, sweetheart, you can't do it that way. But the child insists on doing it that way. They won't listen to you. And then, because you're a good parent, you have to bring some discipline. Is that kind? Yes, it is kind. Because you realize the result of the child doing things that could harm them, even though the child might not realize it. So even discipline is kind. God will always be kind, no matter what He has to do to keep you in His perfect will. He will always be kind. And if He does have to discipline us, once the discipline has achieved its purpose, it's going to be what we think of kindness again. Gentleness and sweetness to us and compassion and patience and things like that. Well, God is abundant in those things. That's the second part of grace. The third part in Hebrews 4:16 is that grace is a throne. A throne is a seat of government. And so grace is God's government in my life. We don't often think of grace as a government, and that's one of the reasons why some people don't trust grace, because they don't recognize that along with being undeserved favor, undeserved kindness, undeserved benefit, grace is also government. The government of God comes through the Word of God as it's given to me for my personal life from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inside you always uses the Word of God to guide you in truth. That guidance in truth is a form of government. That's the government of grace. So God chose grace. God chose grace. Get to know grace. God chose grace for us. Every human being is the recipient of grace, even if they're not believers. There's something called logistical grace. That's the grace that's given to unbelievers. That's the grace that's given to absolutely everybody. For example, it rains on everyone. Now, if you're in the middle of a storm, that might not feel like a blessing, but if you're a farmer, it sure does feel like a blessing. It rains on everybody. The sun is there for everybody. Air is there for everybody. Good things happen to everybody. Yes, difficult things happen too, but good things happen to everybody. That's logistical grace. Special grace is for believers. That's sovereign grace. That means that no matter what my situation, God will take over it and He will help me in it. That's also grace. Get to know grace. It's the most important thing we have because that's the basis on which we get to know God. So get to know grace. Now, there is a way that we enter into grace, and this is very important. In Romans 10:17, we start with faith, which comes by hearing the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God, it will build faith in us. We don't have to try to build faith. We simply hear the Word of God, and the Word of God has a result. The Word of God will build faith in us. And so, I receive the Word of God, and the Word of God has its results in me. That's called faith. Faith is when I start thinking with the Word of God. In very practical, bottom line terms, I think with the word of God, therefore, I think in faith. I encounter a situation and I apply the word of God. That's faith. What does the word of God have to say about my condition? That's faith. I don't go by the appearance of the condition. I don't go by the appearance of the circumstance. I don't go by what other people are saying about it. I go to the Word of God and I use that for my thinking regarding whatever it is. That's faith. Now, in Galatians 5:6b, faith works by love. Well, love, the practical expression of it, is one of the manifestations of grace. And so, if faith works by love, then I simply go to the love of God. I abide in the love of God. In other words, I keep myself in the love of God. How do I do that? By looking for mercy. The practical expression of mercy is patience. When I'm going through the circumstances that I encounter, I look for the patience of God toward me. I don't say to myself, I'm afraid I'm going to mess this up. I say to myself, I'm going to do the best I can, but if I mess it up, I'm not worried about it because God is patient toward me. God is kind toward me. So even if I mess up, it's not going to be anything horrible. God will clean up my mess because I'm doing everything honestly before Him. I'm not rebelling against Him. I'm doing the best that I know how to do. I don't have to worry. God will take care of me, and if I make a mistake, God will be patient with me. That will keep you in the love of God. If I think that God will be angry with me for my mistakes, then I will not trust the love of God. But if I know that no matter what happens, God will be patient with me, God will be kind to me, then I can trust the love of God. Faith works by love. In other words, faith is faith because I don't have any sight to work with. I don't know the outcomes. I don't necessarily have the experience. I don't have guarantees in the world. Maybe I take a step of faith in a mission field. Now, I'm believing that this is true, but what if I'm wrong? Well, if I'm wrong, no big deal. God is patient toward me. God is kind to me. What if I am wrong? Who cares? Now, I do something not because I know the outcome. I do something because I think it's right with God. And so maybe somebody goes on a mission field, they take a step of faith, they don't know the outcome, they simply trust God, they believe Him, they believe He's calling them, and they take this step of faith, and they go on the mission field. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, no big deal. If they were right, great. If they were wrong, no big deal. It never is a big deal when somebody makes a mistake. By the way, if you make a mistake, please understand, it's not a big deal. It's okay. God has you covered. God will be patient. God will be kind. God will take care of you. It's no big deal. If somebody else makes a mistake and you're around them and maybe the mistake affects you some way, realize something. It's no big deal. God is patient. God has you covered. God will take care of you. It's no big deal. It's a who cares kind of a situation. Sometimes people make a big deal out of things that are not big deals. Never make a big deal out of what God says is no big deal. Never say who cares to what God says is a big deal. The Word of God is a big deal. Faithfulness is a big deal. The call is a big deal. Mistakes, no big deal. Nobody cares about mistakes in heaven. No big deal. Keep yourself in the love of God by trusting the patience of God toward you. That's called mercy. Now, If you trust the patience of God, if you trust the kindness of God, a step of faith will not be hard. You will have no problem with believing Him if you trust the character of God. And God is love in 1 John 4:8. So keep yourself in that. Keep that in the forefront of your thinking in pretty much everything you do. Say to yourself in the morning, God loves me, He's for me, He takes care of me. This day is from God. He made this day, He made it for my benefit, and I'm going to enjoy everything that God has for me today. You wake up with that kind of an attitude and there's no such thing as a bad day. Because it's reality. Oh, this thing went wrong. Some people at the end of the day, this thing went wrong and they said this and that over there went on. My job and my school and my family. And you know what the answer to that is? All of it. The answer? No big deal. God has it covered. God will take care of you. Oh, but I made a mistake. It was my own fault. No big deal. If I make a mistake toward you, it's God's test for you to see if you'll respond in grace. If you make a mistake toward me, it's God's test to me to see if I'll respond in grace. It's no big deal. Nothing is ever a big deal what I can do. Everything God does, big deal. Everything I do, no big deal. As simple as that. Keep yourself in grace. You need the love of God in your thinking, the awareness of it, trusting the love of God to be able to do that. Now, the way you enter into grace in Romans 5:2 is by faith. In other words, I trust God's grace. I trust that God is for me. I trust that God will be kind to me. I trust that God will take care of me. I trust that God will make sure that I get to where I'm supposed to be. I trust that. Yes, I acknowledge Him in all my ways in Proverbs 3:5. That's important. Yes, I'm not going to rebel against God. If I rebel against God, it's not grace. It's my own stupid fault. But even when it's my own stupid fault, no big deal. And most things that go wrong in our lives, they're our own stupid fault. Very little that goes wrong in my life is not my own stupid fault. There's some things, okay, the guy in the car hits me, that's not my fault sometimes. Okay, I get that. Not 100%, 99%, it's my own stupid fault. No big deal. Not a big deal. Why? Grace. God is kind. God is patient. God is a government that can take care of and does take care of absolutely everything. God provides all my needs. There's never a time God will not provide your needs because of grace. God is kind. He provides your needs. There's never a time where you're going to go without what you need because of grace. There's never a time you're going to be without food. There's never a time you're going to be without clothes. There's never going to be a time when you're without shelter. You may not have money, but you'll be amazed how things come. Grace. God is kind. God gives you things regardless of whether you deserve them. God's government makes sure that they come your way. God will order your steps. That means God directs your path. Why? God is kind. He chose grace. But if I don't choose grace, makes no difference. He chose grace. It wasn't up to me to choose. It was up to Him to choose, and He chose grace. And so I can relax. I can have complete comfort, complete peace, complete confidence, because God already chose grace. It's not something like, will God give me grace? Won't God? No, He's already given it to you. It's a done deal. It's already there for you. You enter grace by faith. You trust it. You trust what God says about you. You trust what God says about taking care of you. Young people, pretty soon, now how soon, who knows, but pretty soon the time will come when you might be thinking about getting married to somebody. Let grace take care of that. It's amazing how many people try to date You don't try people on for size like they're a pair of jeans. God has a perfect will. Trust God that when you are ready, God will bring you a spouse. And if God does not bring you a spouse for a season, it's because you're not called to be married in that season. But when the time comes, God will bring you a spouse. You don't have to be anxious about it. You don't have to be worried about it. I tell you, more problems come to people because of dating, honestly. People come out with such emotional baggage, such emotional wreck. People become train wrecks in dating. Either they become arrogant because people are interested in them and they want to date them, or it destroys their self-image because whoever they were dating, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, in the end they broke up with them and it's, oh, what's wrong with me? Oh, no. And if they, God forbid, get physical with them, then they actually change their biochemistry. We're not going to talk about that today, but there's actually a physical change in the body that takes place. Your chemicals in your body change when physical relationships take place. That's one of the reasons why you don't let anybody touch you. No, you don't need to do that. You can trust grace. You can trust God to bring you a spouse. You can trust God to bring you a job. You can trust God to guide you in your education. You can trust God for absolutely everything. He's interested in all of it. He has a plan for you for all of it. I swear, even when I was teaching high school, so many high school students were like, oh, who am I going to have a relationship with? What do you mean, who are you going to have a relationship with? You're 16. Who are you going to have a relationship with? Try having a relationship with God. Because that's where all your other relationships are going to come out of anyway. If they're any good. And if they're not any good, you'll wish you hadn't had them. No, you just trust grace. Trust God. God has a plan. He has not forgotten you. As a matter of fact, He is entirely focused on you. He calls you the apple of His eye. In the original language, in the original meaning, apple is not talking about what we think of as pupil. Right? The apple of the eye, scholars, well, that's the pupil. It's actually more intimate than that. It's talking about the reflection in the eye. The literal meaning when God calls us the apple of His eye is the little man in God's eye. You know how if somebody's looking closely at something, if you see their eyes, you can see the reflection of what they're looking at? That's what it's talking about. God is watching you. His attention is so closely fixed on you that if you were to see His eye, you would see your reflection. That's how interested God is. That's how involved God is. That's how caring God is about it. Yes, God does care where you go to school. Yes, God does care who you marry. Yes, God does care where you live. Yes, God does care who your friends are. Yes, God does care if you have friends. Absolutely. If you care about it, God cares about it. You don't have to worry. You just trust grace. Get to know grace. And you can trust Him because you trust that He loves you, that He is for you, that He really does not withhold any good thing, just like He said. He will not withhold any good thing. Do I have to worry and date? No, you don't have to date. Dating is not godly. Dating is about 150 years old. Do you know why dating started? The history of dating is kind of interesting. It started so that immigrants to America could keep their ethnic identity. So let's say that you had an Italian or an Irish or whatever other nationality immigrant, people from that community would find the young immigrants and they would try to hook them up with their sons or daughters so that they would stay Italian or Irish or German or whatever nationality they were, so they wouldn't mix nationalities. That's how it started. And it's not all that old. It's less than 150 years old. Before that, nobody dated. Not in that way. People say to themselves, well, how will I get to know them? How will I know if they're right for me? How will you know if they're right for you? You can know somebody for 20 years and you may not know if they're right for you. You know why? You can't see their heart, but God sure does. God's the only one who can see their heart. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is going this way, but this is not the purpose of this message. But I want you guys to understand something. God wants the best for you. And He knows what the best is. Including people. I have no way of knowing what's in somebody's heart. I have no way of knowing what somebody is really about. God does. God sees their heart right out in front of Him. He knows every thought they think. And God will select for you according to what He knows. He's not going to shortchange you. But He will give you what He knows. That's why you don't have to worry. Trust grace. Trust grace. Just trust grace. For everything in your life, trust grace. And then you get to know, and then you grow in the knowledge of Christ. Now, growing in knowledge is a little bit trickier in some ways. In Philippians 3:8, in order to grow in knowledge, I have to count everything loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Getting to know Him is first place. Nothing else is going to take that place. If I have to make a decision, either I can have this or I can get to know God, I get to know God. That's my decision. Everything else is loss if it goes up to this or getting to know God. Getting to know God wins. I'll get to know Him. I'll always choose to get to know Him. I'll do whatever I need to get to know Him. You can't lose by getting to know God. Now, in getting to know God, God will put you in a process. And it is a lifelong process. Certain things will repeat over and over, not the details, but the process itself. God is love in 1 John 4:8. That means that if I'm getting to know God, I'm getting to know love. Love is not an emotion. When God says God is love, it tells me that God is a person. And so, how do I get to know love? As a person. Well, in Romans 5, the Word of God says in verse 3 that He brings me into trials, into tribulations, testing periods, difficult times. This is one of the reasons why we don't fear difficult times. God brings us into difficult times so that we would develop patience. Patience is the first part of God's love. So the first thing that happens to me in a difficult time is I develop the first part of God's love. Patience. Patience then develops experience for me. If I'm patient, I will have experience. Simple as that. I don't run out of the circumstance. By the way, never run out of your circumstance. There's nowhere to run. And if you do manage to run from your circumstance, it's going to be like running from a bad kidney. It just hurts more the more you run. You don't run out of your circumstance. You let God take you through the circumstance. That's where you get to know Him. So first thing he produces for you is the first expression of his love. The second thing, he gives you experience. Experience then produces hope. Hope in the Bible is not a wishful thought. Hope is confident expectation. I know what God's going to do. I know it. Why? Experience. I know it. When I have this confident expectation, then love is in my frame of reference. That's how you get to know love as a person. When it says grow in the knowledge of Christ, what you're growing in is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love. You're growing in understanding God's attitude toward you. You're growing in your ability to express God's attitude toward other people and toward yourself. You're growing in who God is. Again, it starts with the Word of God. The Word became flesh in John 1:14. So don't think to yourself by going to the Bible that you're not really getting to know God, that you're getting to know about God. No, you're getting to know God through the Bible. That's how we get to know Him. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. That will take care of you. That will take care of every situation. That will take care of every problem. That will take care of all the good times, all the bad times, and everything in between. Get to know grace and get to know God through His Word. That's a mandate. It's not an option. It's a requirement. Get to know Him. Get to know His grace. Get to know Him through His Word. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die and give me a relationship with you now, as you come into my heart and live.